Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, we'll begin with verse 11, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I feel like this is what God has laid up on my heart for this day. Amen. We need to understand that God never leaves His people. Amen. You may get left out of a lot of things in life, but God doesn't leave you out. He has every reason to, but He doesn't. He loves us. He cares. His love goes beyond our failures. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Praise God. So God is ever with us. Jeremiah 29 and 11, verse 10, pardon me, back up to verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Father, I thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you, God, more for your presence, your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, your blessings will be upon the ministry of your infallible word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord. Jeremiah is speaking to people here who were about to be carried away into 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Some already had been, and they would remain there in captivity for 70 years. The reason being is because they had disobeyed the Lord, they had broken all of God's commandments, and they lived a life that was contrary to what God told them to live. They didn't just fail once or twice. They had made a lifestyle of rebelling against God's commandments. You know what the Ten Commandments are. And so God allowed them through His discipline to go through captivity. And they were scattered from Jerusalem to other parts of the earth. And there they would have to learn to trust God. One portion of Scripture says, I will be a little sanctuary to you wherever you are. That verse means a lot to all of us because we can worship God anywhere. But Jerusalem was the place that God had set His name, His glory forever. And so they would return eventually after 70 years of captivity, return and would be a nation restored from Babylonian captivity. God would set them free. And God would certain that they had paid the price for their sins. Judgment was there. And God yet promises return from captivity, a nation that would be restored. And God always restores those who are repentant, return to Him. That should encourage you in your prayers, regardless of how far a person has drifted from God, regardless of the revelation of God they had, maybe in younger years, but have turned away from God and backslidden. My friend, don't ever give up. You just keep praying. God restores people. Amen. And so He does restore people and return them to the relationship with Him. And this is talking about the return of the people to the Lord. To return from captivity, they first had to return to the Lord. Amen. And so God always welcomes the repentant sinner. First of all, let's understand that God is not absent. God thinks of His children. You may wonder sometimes, is anybody up there? Does God really listen? Does God really hear? God not only hears and listens, but God knows your thoughts. You say, well, I don't want anybody to be that close to me to know what I'm thinking. Well, He does. Like it or not. I'm glad He does. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55 and 9 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is very powerful. God is very wonderful. And God thinks of us, and I'm glad that He does. Praise the Lord. It gives a little more insight on this, that God is not absent. If we read Psalms 139, is God... In the first four verses of that chapter is very revealing. When the writer here says, Lord, you can make this personal to you. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my downsitting, my uprising. You understand my thought of far off. Before you ever thought it, God knew you were going to think that. That's pretty personal, isn't it? You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Now, there's wonder that God is so close and personable to us. You say, well, God has billions of people throughout the earth. How can He know the thought and the intent of the heart? He just does, because He's God. And God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, and God knows all things. And God's not looking to try to make something wrong with you. There's already something wrong with us before He ever thought about it. He needs us to repent and turn to Him. That's what He wants. Praise God. And so here the writer says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Okay. And so people that have sinned against God and people that have denied the Son of God, but repent and return to Him with all their heart, God promises to give them peace and not evil. That's wonderful. So God has thoughts of peace and not evil. And so it's just wonderful to know that God is a God who gives peace. Thoughts of peace. You know, people don't think of peace much. They think of all the crime that's going on. They think of everything that's happening. Many people review all the bad things that have happened to them and say, well, God, why? My friend, don't limit this God that we serve. He's not limited. Thoughts of peace and not evil. You know, there's a day when Jesus' name is powerful and mighty. The Bible tells us, prophesied 700 years before Christ, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His peace and kingdom there will be no end upon the throne of David, to order it and establish it from henceforth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. This God that we have, He's a Prince of Peace. He's a powerful God. Amen. He's able to give peace when there's nothing but confusion or trial. Amen. I want to tell you something. This God that we serve today can settle your mind, settle your heart, and whatever you've had to think up on this day and whatever this thing that's bothering you today, I want to tell you the Prince of Peace is still on the throne of glory. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there for you. He makes intercession to the Father. He's the go-between between you and God. He loves, He cares. He's concerned about you today, whatever you're facing. Man. And God says to you, I have thoughts of peace concerning you. Praise the Lord. God has never planned evil. God is not out to destroy you. God's not out to looking for some little thing He can kick you out of off the planet for. He could. But He's not searching for something, or He's already got something. He don't have to search. He saved us when we weren't worth saving. God demonstrated His own love towards us while we were still sinners, still enemies of God. So God never has evil planned. He's not out to destroy us. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give you more abundant. I'm here to restore you and to protect you and renew your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise the Lord. And so, peace is His eternal plan. God's plan never changes. You know why God's plan never changes? It's because He never messes up, and He never makes a wrong choice, and He never does anything wrong. He doesn't have to look back and say, well, I wish I hadn't done that 20 years ago. I wish I hadn't done that 1,000 years ago. He never has to look back and wonder where he went wrong because he never did go wrong. We have to look back at a lot of things, and if you had life to live over, you would do a lot of things different. But let's face it, we don't have life to do over. We just pick up and go in the grace of God from here on out. Don't let yourself be beat down all the time by things you used to do and one things you used to commit and all things that you horrible things that you think of that you did or wanted to do or wish you'd have done. My friend, you live for God today. You pick up and go on from here, praise the Lord, and he will help you and he will walk you through so that you don't, so your failures don't become your life, but God becomes your life, the restorer, the one who restores. Amen. His words affects our thoughts. God's word affects what you're thinking. It's a very revealing scripture in Hebrews 4:12. You hear me quote it often. It's not because I don't know anything else. I'd be better off if I didn't know anything but God's word, but praise the Lord. But it says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword that pierces even to the vision of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and discerns the thought and the intent of the heart. God's word will reveal to you what's on your mind. God's word will talk to you where you're at. Amen. How many times have you wondered what's going on and you begin to read the Bible and God speaks to you through his word? Amen. God can speak to anybody, anywhere. Amen. God could speak to Jonah in a whale's belly, great fish's belly. Amen. We don't look at Jonah very graciously sometimes because he was a rebellious prophet that ran away from God. And we know that a great fish swallowed him up, but it wasn't long. The fish got sick of the preacher, and the preacher got sick of the fish. And why wouldn't a fish get sick of a backslidden preacher? And so something had to go. So, you know, the great fish gave Jonah a ride. Slick one. As he threw him up, and you know that he went on to preach the gospel to Nineveh, and many people repented, and God spared the judgment on that nation because somebody went. Praise the Lord. So God knows and discerns the thought and the intent of the heart. God knows why you do what you do. And he directs you to thoughts that will bring peace. And God, out of love, corrects his people, as he was doing to Israel here. The reason that God allowed them to go into captivity, God was not finished with that nation, but God was giving them divine correction. Because they had failed and they would not obey God, disobedience, and they would not serve the Lord, and they would turn to worship other gods and other things, and gods of wood and stone and hay and stubble, done things that couldn't talk or see nor hear nor help anybody when they were in need. But yet they turned from the one true God who had done great miracles before them to serve and to worship idols. And so God, secondly, has present and future plans for you. God is not absent, number one. Number two, God has present and future plans for you. King David spent much of his time running from King Saul. King Saul was king. He wanted his son Jonathan to be king after him, one of his descendants, his son. But God had chosen David to be the next king, and so Saul, out of jealousy, wanted to destroy David. But he was seeking to destroy God's plan. It just wouldn't work. But David had to spend much of his time running from King Saul, who sought to kill him. And you say, well, did David have much of a future? Yes, he did. Eventually, he would be in the kingly line of Messiah, Christ that would come. And he would become king and reign 7 years in Hebron and reign 33 years in Jerusalem. And so God had a future and a hope and a plan for King David. Praise the Lord. And God has a future and a plan for you. Praise God. He's not like a politician that's always got a plan that never comes true. But God has a future for you, and God has a future dwelling place for you. Here in this life, we wonder where we're going to dwell. You know, what if this happens to that one, or what if the economy goes crazy and I lose the mortgage on my place and we're just in debt and everything bad is going to happen? Let me tell you something. God has a plan for you that's not going to fail. And it doesn't require a monthly payment. Amen. And God has a great future for you and I. Praise the Lord. In Revelation 21:3, it says, I heard a loud voice. God wanted John to hear this and us to hear it. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, or the dwelling place of God, is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. My friend, I look forward to the day when I can walk down the streets of gold in heaven and just talk to God as a person would talk to their friend. Yeah, sin separates us, but the holy blood of Jesus rejoins us to God. And I want to tell you, there will be a day, friend, when you can walk and go with God and talk with God, and you can converse with him as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden without anything to restrain you whatsoever. You can talk to God. God said, I will be with you. I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to make my place with you. And you're going to be with me forever. My friend, that's a wonderful promise of Scripture that we can stand upon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God never leaves. And he's going to be with you eternally. You may be around people here you don't want to be with eternally. But if God saves them, you're going to be. Praise the Lord. God himself will be with them and dwell with them and be their God. And he says, I give you thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you a future and to give you a hope. Verse 11 of our text, to give you a future and a hope. We spoke about an eternal future that God has for us. It's much more than just what's the one scripture that I read here from Revelation 21:3, but Revelation 21 and 22. Makes you know you don't want to be anywhere but in heaven. Praise the Lord. And God has given us a hope because he loves and cares for what happens to us. You know, God cares what happens to you. You hear people say, nobody knows. Nobody pays any attention to me. Nobody cares what happens to me. Yes, God does. And God loves and cares for us because a sinful world cannot bring hope. I will give you a future and give you a hope. And we live in hope of the eternal. God demonstrated his own love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us to give us eternal hope. Amen. The Bible tells us that hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. There's no lasting hope in this world, no permanent answers for earth's problems. We can hope for a better economy, hope for a better government leader. And I'm not going to go into politics. We can hope for a better answer to life's growing problems, some answer to our out-of-control crime problems here in the U.S. and the world, really. But there is only one answer. There's always been just one answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Andre Crouch wrote about it many years ago, a song called Jesus is the Answer. Amen. But he didn't just write about it. That's the truth. God is the answer. My friend, I'm not looking for somebody else or something else. Yes, we want to do better, and it's all right to go better and do better and make more money and have a successful life. It's okay to do that. Amen. But you can't leave God out of your life. You've got to seek first the kingdom ahead, his kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. God cares for you. God loves you. God is concerned about you today. He's concerned about what happens to you. And so therefore, he wants to be there with you. And so God has present and future plans for you to give you a future and to give you a hope. There's a great verse in Deuteronomy 33:27. It's one you should pack away in your memory or underline it in your Bible or both. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I love that verse. People say, I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. I'm big and I'm strong and I'm young and I can do this on my own. But my friend, you need the everlasting arms under you, because we don't stand in our own strength. We are upheld by His grace. Amen. You say, well, I'm helpless. Without God, we are kind of helpless. Amen. But with God, He's powerful. He's mighty. He will hold you up. He will walk you through sorrow, headache, and pain. He'll walk you through the troubles you have in this life. My friend, you want to be held in His everlasting arms. He's promised it in Scripture, and you can be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's many things we could add to that. You could still hear testimony throughout this congregation how God has upheld you and held you in His arms when you're going through things you didn't think you could face. I know what it is to be upheld by His grace. You do too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Didn't stand in your own strength. You were upheld. And He will carry you where you can't walk. He'll carry you like a child before they can walk. They need somebody to carry them or to help them along the way. Amen. But we need God to help us and to carry us sometimes. Man, I just can't walk without you holding my hand. Praise the Lord. So God has present and future plans for you. Because you see, God never leaves. He saved you to be with you eternally, to give you eternal love, eternal hope, eternal life, eternal grace, eternal mercy, eternal peace. Eternal. He's the eternal God as your refuge. Last of all, God listens to prayer. We pray today because we think God's listening. Not only do we think He's listening, He is. Verse 12 of our text, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Amen. When you were growing up, your mom and dad ever look you straight in the eyes and say, are you listening to me? They're looking straight at you. Heard every word they said, but I want to know that you got that. You're listening to me, okay? But God listens. He said, you will go to me and pray and I will listen to you. Because why does God listen? Because He's concerned about you. And I know there's times in our physical life and in our natural life we say, you know, I've heard that all my life. I've heard all that. I want to hear. I've heard that before. I don't want to listen to that. How merciful and gracious is our God? God, I need your help. God can say, I've helped you through that 15 times. But God says, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. And God listens to prayer. It would do no good to pray if they had no intention. Israel would do them no good to pray if they had no intention of abandoning their sin and disobedience to the known revealed will of God. But God said, if you'll call upon me, I will listen to you. If you'll come to me and pray, I'll listen to what you have to say. Because they were living under the judgment of God. They were living with judgment for their sins. They were in foreign countries among people in a language they couldn't speak and they couldn't communicate well and all that happens. I don't know if you've ever been to a foreign country and you realize you don't speak their language. After a while, you know, you just kind of don't say anything. Amen. My sister, a while back, and sister ministers to a lot of people, she was in a place, you know, was largely Hispanic and had ever kind of, she said, is the most culturally place, diverse, that'll work. Said there were white people, there were black people, there were brown people, there were all colors and all peoples. And said, this lady come to the altar, said, I don't know any Spanish. Not my sister, Adana, doesn't know any Spanish. And said, lady who kind of wanted to be prayed for said, I couldn't understand anything, you know, but said the word came to my mind, Jesus. I said, yeah, that's good, that's Jesus. And she said another word came to my mind, casa, house. So she said, all she said to the Hispanic ones was, Jesus, house. That's all she could do. But God gloriously moved with them, that woman, somebody that could speak her language, was able to pray with her, and God did some wonderful things, not only her, but several people that day. So God is culturally diverse. He knows all cultures. He knows all languages. He can speak anything to anybody. Amen. He's not divided ever. He cares. So God listens to prayers. God's promise to them and us, God listens when we pray. Time spent in prayer is not wasted time ever. My friend, it's good time. God listens. Much of our natural problems that we hear and look at a person but really don't listen. But I want to tell you something. God cares for you, and God is listening to you. He's concerned about you. Amen. God says to his people today, Isaiah 43:1, you can take this personally. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. God is saying, you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Have you ever felt like you were just overflowed with problems and cares that just come up on you all at once? And saying, God, would you stop this flow as it's going over me? God says, the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle upon you. That's a great promise. Praise the Lord. Each of these can be proven by scriptures in the Bible. God help people. Amen. God help three Hebrew children out of the fiery furnace. They were going to be burned up, but they wouldn't burn. When they got done, there wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. It says here, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. You'll never be without. God will send somebody to encourage you, to strengthen you. God will strengthen you through his word. God has ways of communicating and fellowshipping with you. Amen. I've had people come in my life that I knew weren't from God, but I've had people in my life that I knew God sent them. Praise the Lord. And so I know that God hears and God cares and God listens. God never leaves. He's always there for his people. God comes to restore. Amen. I'm going to quote a scripture here, and I want you to, you may all know it with me. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Here's God's promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That tells me something. God has got grace and mercy upon you, and you're going to dwell with him in the house of the Lord forever. Are you excited about this today, friend? You're never alone, not going to be alone. He's going to be with you always. He's not an answer to many problems. He is the only answer there is. But God, the great answer, is with you continually. He loves you. He cares for you personally. He will not leave you. And if you strayed from God, he will allow you to return to him, because he loves you and cares. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're a powerful God. I thank you, Lord, that you've proved to me and to scores of others that you surely are a present Jesus, not an absent Jesus, but a present Jesus. When the winds and the waves, God, seem to overflow us, there's you, Lord, there that says, peace be still, and they have to obey. I pray that you'd minister the hearts of people this morning, God. They may be overflowed with various things. There's not one problem here today that you're not the answer to. Hallelujah. Praise God. My friend, if you're going through it and you don't have peace in your heart concerning what you're going through, let's just pray together. God will give you peace. Amen. He said in his word, I know the thoughts that I think to you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. It's God talking to you. Amen. He threw his word. Not my word, but his. Praise God. I'll tell you something. God cares for you personally today. I need God right now. I'm facing something. I don't know how I'm going to face it. My friend, the same God that brought you through the last problem will bring you through this one. He didn't mess up. He didn't fail. He didn't quit. Ever. He's always obedient to his promise. I will go with you always, even to the end of this age. Amen. If you have a need this morning, he cares. Why don't you stand with me if you would? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you have a need and you want to talk to God about it, I invite you to come to this altar and pray. Amen. You're not going to waste time by praying. You're not going to waste time by saying, I need you this week, God. I want to start this week with you. I want to start this week in the right way, the right direction. I need you, God. Amen. You say, well, if I go, it means I'm weak. No, it doesn't. It means you're strong. You're depending on the Lord, and God's going to renew your strength. God's going to help you. Amen. Why don't we all just find a place to pray? You may kneel at your seat if you want to come to this altar and pray. Let's talk to God before we leave. Amen. This is important. This is between you and eternity. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I can come to you today, God. Powerful God, mighty God, glorious God, gracious God.
Here I am.
the Lord. May God encourage you and bless you today. Strengthen your faith. It's God's will for you to go forward in Him. Amen. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. You're going to make it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Amen. Amen. Brother Darrell, would you close in prayer, sir?